birds. There's a universe of them out there, covering a square mile or so of ground like a red carpet.
Coming this way?
Right.
She quickly pulled on her dark blue boot and tucked in the leg of her trousers, taking care not to leave any gaps.
Are these the recon party?
I guess so, lover.
Can I see the rest?
We need to get our bolts greased and hurry back to the village. Warn them.
Must be vibration that attracts them. I have to go take a quick look, Ryan, for myself.
Ryan pointed to the highest point of the ridge.
Skirt around to the right there.
She ran quickly, moving as lightly as she could, with Ryan at her shoulder. When they reached the top of the hill, they stood together, staring down at the awesome sight. Her hand reached out and took Ryan's.
I am scared, lover. I swear to the green gods I never saw anything like this.
Neither have I.
How fast are they going?
Probably sort of slow. They must be eating all the time on the march. Only 2 or 3 miles a day, but they got a straight ace on the line for the village.
Time for people to move if we warn them.
Sure.
Ryan looked carefully around and spotted a squad of the red ants moving toward them. They didn't seem to be physically mutated, being well under an inch long, but their fierceness and eagerness in hunting was something new.
Sure, the people can move, but look way back where they've been. They stripped the land bare for a half mile across.
Over there.
The forest wasn't utterly deserted. A young water buffalo calf had been left behind. Perhaps it was sickly, or maybe it had wandered too far when the rest of the herd fled. Now it came wandering from some dense foliage, with strands of vegetation dangling from its jaws. It seemed totally insensible to its danger.
They've sensed it.
Christy watched as a long arm split off from the broad central column, reaching out like living fire toward the hapless animal. The buffalo calf stopped suddenly, peering at the ground in front of it with concentration and surprise. The buffalo tossed its head back, its skinny little tail waving futilely as though it had been stung by a gadfly. Then it took a number of unsteady steps to the side, its head going up and down, and its body began to twitch. Tiny red streaks appeared up its legs, across its belly and flanks, as the ants climbed onto its body.
Run!
Too late. The little bastards are on to us. Better get moving out of here.
Just a second. Why doesn't it...
Come on, lover, quick!
It's down!
The young animal fell, its legs kicking out wildly. It was as if it had fallen into a fast-flowing river of lava. The moment it went down, the ants swarmed all over it, covering its body inches thick, biting and stinging it on the mouth, in the ears, and on the eyes.
Just like that? Down and done in half a minute? About as quick as those muty piranhas we once saw.
They ran from the ridge together, planting their feet hard in the long grass, crushing dozens of the bright red insects beneath their boots as they headed toward the village. They moved at a steady pace, alternating between a slow run and a fast walk, crossing the strange deep bowl of bare rock, continuing west. The trees grew thick about them as they rolled back the long miles. The sun was well past its zenith when they finally caught sight of the flat-topped pyramid that stood just beyond the outskirts of the village.
Can we just stop for a couple of minutes? I think I'm getting too old for all this running around. Sweating like a pig.
Me too. Didn't Doc say that only horses sweated?
Right. And men perspire, but ladies simply glow.
Notice now, some of the noises of the jungle kind of return as we came closer to the village.
Yeah. Seems normal here at the moment. Right. I think I could go on now.
Speaking Eagle was the first person of any authority to see them. He realized from their appearance that something had happened.
Jaguar people?
No.
Men with whips?
Not them either. Look, we don't want to have to tell this story a dozen different times, just once. It's triple important. Call Itzcoatl and all your main men. I'll get JB and the rest of my friends. Meet in the main hut in 5 minutes from now.
The man nodded slowly, his eyes fixed on Christie's sweat-sodden shirt.
I tell. The story you will speak to us is a bad one?
Yeah, it's a bad one.
They sat together on the bed in their hut. The others gathered around. The attack of dysentery had vanished as swiftly as it had struck, and everyone was feeling fine now.
What is it, Dad?
Stickies? Haven't seen bad mutas here.
Slavers?
Perhaps some mythical beast from beyond the blasphemous deeps of time and space?
Quiet. We're going out for a council of war with the natives in a couple of minutes. I'll give you all the details there. but I can tell you quickly what it was. No interruptions. Questions and stuff can come later.
Ants.
Not big muty ants. Ferocious, scarlet little bastards.
Ryan pulled up his shirt to show the half-dozen scattered bites, now turned into yellow-peaked lumps, each about the size of an old quarter.
Want me to try and get something for those? Probably got herb poultices that'll help.
No, let it be for a bit. They sting and burn and itch all at once. The main thing is, there's a whole army of them. Must cover more than a mile. And they're eating their way toward us.
Eating everything in their way. They're not leaving anything in their path. Animals of all sizes fled from these things in droves.
They're still several miles off, and it'll be dark soon. Anyone know if ants travel at night?
I might be proved wrong, but I rather doubt it. I imagine that they'll form themselves into a sort of camp, protect their queen and all the grubs and babies. Must be a whole species on the move. An entire colony burning their way through the forest. I've read tales of this happening. I vote for no travel at night.
I guess too, Doc. In that case, we've got a little time. And we can maybe use that time to try and come up with a plan. 5 minutes is up. Let's go and talk this over with our hosts.
The natives were appalled at the ant army that was moving toward them. As soon as Ryan broke the news to them, they began to chatter and argue, several of them standing and pointing toward the east.
This is very bad. The sacrifices the other night were wasted. Something must have been done wrongly, and the gods have become angry with us. All things are pushing against us on all sides. The gods wish to destroy us.
But first, they make you mad.
We can only run. How long before the small biting ones reach us here?
It's difficult to tell, Chief.
Are they in trees or in grass?
Grass. Sort of a swampy kind of region, where the trees are thinned out.
Best description is that big redstone basin. They'll know that.
The spit bowl of the fire gods. We know it. Have the ants got that close?
Ryan looked at the sun, which was low on the horizon.
Answer me a question. These red ants, when they up and move like now, do they march at night?
Itzcoatl looked around the council table, waiting for some of the older warriors to answer him. Finally, a man called White Jaguar spoke.
Not in dark, only in light.
Huh. Then the ants should reach that deep bowl in the rock during the middle of the next morning. Maybe a little sooner.
They will be in our pockets by the middle of the following day. Where they move, the ground dies. Where their shadows fall, the flowers crumble. We can do nothing. Nothing stops them.
What about water?
Oh, yes, Jack. A fast river will stop them. They will send the scouting ants up and down until they find a fallen tree or a place to cross. We have no river in the way of them.
Everyone sat, regarding the disaster that was moving remorselessly toward them.
Might they just stop or change the direction of their march?
Only if the gods will it. But their eyes are against us.
You said you'd found a lot of gasoline, Ryan?
The old man's milky blue eyes were alight with eagerness.
My father's friend, Leiningen, was a plantation owner in the jungle. He was faced with an army of ants.
And?
And I will tell you how he solved the problem.
The whole village worked through the night. The warriors, the priests, the elders, the children, and the women. At first, it was Itzcoatl who was in charge of the desperate operation. But he simply didn't have the logistical skill for anything on this scale. He handed over control to Ryan, who ordered, chased, shouted, and kicked to get his way, organizing the village into a number of squads, each of them with a specific task, each with a different member of the group of companions to take command of them. Dean was given a group of the youngest children, whose task was to collect all the available honey from the village's stores and carry it in pots through the dark jungle until they reached the chosen spot. Mildred went around the entire settlement with rainflour, gathering any meat from the houses, as well as the offal and rotting carcasses from the village midden, dragging the stinking mass of pork, beef, monkey, and dog along the same trail to the same place as the honey. Christy went quickly through the forest with Ryan, establishing a base at the center, where the plan would be carried out. Doc followed at a slower pace, accompanied by several of the older warriors who were to carry out the finer details of the scheme. JB and Jack took all of the other males and some of the young women directly to the ruined army base. Itzcoatl went with them, explaining that the fear of the place as the abode of hostile spirits meant that there might be a reluctance on the part of some of his people to go near the military complex, particularly